in keeping with the title for today, I was going to attempt to keep a low profile. However, I was quickly told it's not working. You still have that goofy thing hung around your ear. And at the time of the service where the screen says, message, you're the only one up talking. So as much as perhaps I would want to keep a low profile, it's really not working. As we come to John chapter 7, in which we have departed from John chapter 6, and the events are moving forward, we're going to see that Jesus is attempting to keep a low profile. But as we can imagine, for him, that's only going to last for a little while. But for today, we will see that Jesus is attempting to keep a low profile in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. The first thing that we will notice in verses 1 through 5 is hide and seek. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now we can see back there that in verse 1, after this, well, if you just take a quick glance back at chapter 6 in verse 1, they were getting prepared for, or just coming up to, the Passover when Jesus fed the 5,000. That's in the springtime. And here we are, we're looking at the Feast of the Tabernacles. That is in the fall. And so within that, we know that there has been about a six-month period of time in which Jesus has been ministering in Galilee. John, for his purposes, hasn't filled in all the blanks. He's just telling us that there was this time that Jesus was staying in Galilee. The reason was obvious. The leaders, the Jewish authorities, have already made it very clear, when we find this guy, we're going to kill him. And so Jesus is trying to keep himself a little bit anonymous, not because he's afraid, but because he's doing the will of God. But that's in our next section. For right now, we can see that as he's doing this, that even though they were determined to take his life, and that's why he's been kind of staying in Galilee, it's speaking of this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. And within this, the Jewish calendar has seven items upon it, seven festivals that they will celebrate during the year. The Feast of the Tabernacles is one of three in which there's mandatory attendance. So it would make perfect sense for Jesus' brothers to come along and say, you know, hey, if you're doing all this stuff up in Galilee, and you say you're the Messiah, you are the Son of God, well, go prove it in Jerusalem, because they're the ones who are going to have to yay or nay you anyway. So why don't you just take this show on down to Jerusalem, because you got to go anyway. Well, we can see that with this intent, that we can't necessarily get inside the attitude of his brothers. But we kind of got the idea that that they're like, well, we're not buying everything you're doing and saying, so go prove it to them. And if they say, okay, we'll take another look at it. So Jesus is telling them that that's coming up next. For right now, we can see that just a little bit more fill in on the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's in the fall, and it is very much like our Thanksgiving, that they're celebrating the incoming of the crops and God's blessing to them in the land. But it looks back to the time in which they were dependent upon God to care for them, for they had no means of caring for themselves. They were wandering. They were without a home. They were out without a land of their own. And within this dire circumstance, God showed himself true. So if we think of it like our Thanksgiving, we're close, except that they would camp out. They would set up temporary shelters to illustrate the point that it is God who cares for them. So within this, you know, they're getting ready to go. And, hey, if Jesus is the Messiah, let him prove it publicly. And by the way, attendance is mandatory. Secondly, guess who? Verses 6 through 9. Therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, because for me, the right time has not yet come. Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. Jesus' reply to the request of his brothers is, I'm staying put. This is not out of fear of man. It is out of obedience to God's will. Now, guess who is a child's game in which each opponent is given various cards and they put them in a little game thing, and the other opponent is given clues and they've got to guess what cards you're holding. Well, here they're kind of looking at trying to guess who Jesus is. Well, it's not really guess, but there's going to be disagreement on who they say that he is. So within this, Jesus is hiding out, and yet when he goes, it's only so long until he shows himself that they're going to want to listen to his teaching. And when he does, then it's going to be no secret Jesus is in town. But that's next week. For this week, it just suffice it to know that the brothers can go about freely at this festival and no one's going to care, no one's going to pay any attention, because they're of the world. They fit right into it. They have no fear of authorities. They would have no reason to. They fit right in. But Jesus is not on their schedule. He isn't telling them that he isn't going to the festival. He's just saying that he wasn't going right now. And of course, within this, we know that the reason Jesus is hated, he states it clearly. The revelation of God is going to reveal wrong. Light reveals sin and condemns it. And since, as people, we are sinners, that's going to make us terribly uncomfortable with that type of a presentation. Number three, follow the leader in verses 10 through 13. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. Jesus is stealthily arriving at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's keeping a low profile because he knows these Jewish leaders are looking out for him and are going to grab him as soon as he shows up. And within this, we can see that there's lots of whispers, and they're debating, is Jesus good or is he bad? Is Jesus leading people to God or is he leading them away from God? And even though the opinions differ, neither side is willing to make their opinion known. For they're afraid that if they do, the authorities may grab a hold of them, either to chastise them or perhaps to stand them up as an example of unbelief in Jesus. And the people are going, whoa, don't want a crisis here. Let's keep it on the down low, which is a Hebrew term. It just means to just kind of be anonymous. Within that, we have Jesus is explaining here, or John, of Jesus' experience, that within this, Jesus is keeping himself somewhat unknown despite the testimony of others. It was very clear. Everyone knew that it was obvious these Jewish leaders were upset at Jesus. The atmosphere is tense. No one wanted to create a crisis, not even Jesus. Now, within this, there may be those of you who've picked up on the outline this morning. And within our outline, we have the names of three childhood games. And the reason for that is that they're played by kids in elementary school. By the time you get to middle school, you don't play these games anymore. You've outgrown them. They're for elementary kids. One of the key things we know about the Word of God is that it can be read by a child and understood by a child, that it is so elementary that a child can read it and say, you should not lie. And not being a great theologian at all, a small child can walk away and going, God says do not lie. What does that mean? It means you tell the truth. They get it. And yet at the same time, the most brilliant mind on the face of the planet can be studying the Word of God and never get to the true depth of the meaning of the Word, can never exhaust what it's telling us to do. So it's within this struggle that we can see that the Bible is fit, it's tailor-made for the child and for the brilliant scholar. It's important for us to know that as we look at this, that within the Word of God, that for the Bible to be elementary does not only mean that it is basic and simple, but it also means that elementary can mean that it is essential, that it is important, that it is necessary. May we always find, wherever we are, that the Word of God is elemental for all of us. Three things that I thought maybe would help us on a simple passage before us today that might bring some things home. Number one, I want to reread for you verse 5. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Number one, proximity does not guarantee faith. Jesus' brothers do not believe. They're right there. They've heard what he says. They've seen what he does. And yet, they do not believe. We can see, our spouse. We can see our children. We can see our parents. We can see our siblings on what they do and what they say regarding faith. It doesn't mean that we believe. It only means that we grew up around people who do. When it comes to Jesus, it's all about a personal relationship. It's all about your own choice. And within that choice, as we've gone through chapter 5 and chapter 6 of John, it couldn't be clearer. To believe in Jesus is to have eternal life. To not believe is to be condemned and face eternal death. That choice is never one that can be made by another. It's an individual choice. Everyone must choose. And of course, within this, one will either choose to believe in Jesus for eternal life, or they will choose not to believe and face condemnation. Number two, do you live according to your agenda, or do you live according to the will of God? Though we can desire, though we can want, though that can be the ever-present desire and purpose of our life, we do not always live according to the will of God. We are struggling to get and keep ourselves out of the way. It can only take one small little phrase, one small little word, one small turn of events to take the focus off of doing the will of God and put it on just a little bit of self-promotion. And the Bible couldn't be clearer that each one of us can stand and say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and His work and His will in my life. And so within this, we have to know that we were born with a propensity to selfishness and to sin. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know we can seek to do better. How easy one thought can derail us. And yet, Jesus is our example. And He is our power to enable us to be able to lean on Him and live according to the will of God. Trust Him. And then in the next moment, turn around and trust Him some more. Number three, it is not natural to keep a low profile as a Christian, because we've already made the decision that makes an eternal difference. We are brimming over with joy unexplainable on the fact that we have been raised from death to life. Amen. We have been raised from death to life. Amen. Within that, we know that there should not be the pressures at work or at school, with our friends or with our family, in which we would find ourselves that it would be difficult or awkward to talk about Jesus. We don't want to create a rift. We don't want to be considered an outcast. And we certainly don't want to be called out by authorities. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Also, over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. May we hold on to boldness, holy boldness, spiritual endowment that God's promise for us to speak with clarity His truth, that it will be ours just as He has promised. The idea is that we would be His instrument of righteousness, that we would be His representatives spiritually in our school, at our work, in our homes, to our friends. That we impact them with the importance of choosing to believe in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. You have graced us to overflowing. We have eternal life because that is what You have given us. And Lord, though for a small time You were attempting to keep a low profile, for us that have already received Your forgiveness, have already received Your power, have already received eternal life, we have to work really, really hard for self, for selfishness, for sin, to try and live a low profile for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live out loud for Him, that others will hear His call on their lives. In Christ's name, amen. As we come to the conclusion of our service today, I trust if there's any urging in your heart of something that the Lord has laid on your heart to deal with, that you do that right now, right where you are, so that you can walk out of here with a smile on your face, knowing He is with you and He will never let you go. Perhaps there'd be someone here that would have a decision that they would wish to make public. If you do, just ask you to come at this time and let us know. Been worshiping with us for a while, want to become a member of Clear Lake Christian Church, just come and let us know of your intent. Perhaps you've been here and you've seen the baptism and you'd like to be baptized. Hello, Tammy.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
I'll get this for you. Why are you here?
I would like to join your church.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good thing. So within that, I will have one of the elders come up, and since Alan's got to carry up Alex's Bible anyway, we'll have Alan do it. So just hold on just a second. Okay, and within this, and then we're going to need to turn you on. Oh, it is on. We're good. Okay, if anybody wants to be baptized, come let us know. If you are here today and you don't yet know Jesus, don't leave without Him. Come, let me know, and I can share with you from the Word of God how you can be sure that you have believed in Jesus, are trusting Him for your life, that you may have eternal life. Alan.
So do you profess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and that He died for your sins to forgive you?
Yes.
And do you want to become part of this weird and odd family?
Yes, I do.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Tammy, hold on. Yeah. Come on back up here. You aren't done yet. For those of you that may be visiting with us, I'm sorry if that weird and odd thing was a little out of the box. You would have figured it out soon enough anyway.
Yeah.
Alec, if you would come up. Alan would like to make a presentation.
Alec, beings you have professed that you are a believer in Christ and that you want to show your love for him through everything that you do here and in this church, I want to present you with this Bible to help you study and become the man of God he wants you to be.
Amen.
You want now to say anything?
Okay. Now, since we have Alec coming through baptism and Tammy coming through the testimony of her faith, would invite at the conclusion of our last song that everyone would come up and greet Alec and Tammy into our family. So you can go and grab the front row for right now, but as soon as that's done, as soon as the song's done, come right back up here. Okay? Amen. Let's stand. Alec, that's you too. Stay up here. It's okay. Obedience is a learned thing as we go. You know, when none of us follow Jesus perfectly, we just try to get better every day. Lord, we thank you. You have loved us with an everlasting love. It's so incomprehensible to us, and yet so graciously, we love to watch it be lavished upon us. We thank you for these two who wish to be a part of this family, not only to receive from us the gifts that you have shared with us that can build into their lives, but Lord, that they are willing to share back with us the gifts that the Lord has given them, that we will all be built up in your name, that we will be effective disciples for Christ. Amen.